Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. We are going to be in the book of Isaiah for a couple weeks. I want us to kind of tie in Isaiah and Hebrews as we go through our series on God's promise plan of salvation. On God's promise plan of salvation. Okay, yeah, echo in a little bit. Okay, very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us as we look at this passage. Lord, I thank You for the young people in our congregation, the young people that You have given us to work with, for us to bring up to know You. I pray, Lord, that they would know You in a personal way, that they would trust in Your glorious plan of salvation for their lives. And I pray that You would continue to work on their hearts. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the last time I preached from Isaiah, I preached from chapter 11 of Isaiah, and we talked about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious earthly kingdom, when He will reign on this earth. And it'll be a wonderful time. That wonderful time when Jesus alone shall reign over all the earth. It's going to be great. In light of that day, Isaiah offers up a hymn of praise here in chapter 12. Sweetie, if you could just adjust me a little bit more. I'm still echoing. Okay. So he offers up this wonderful hymn of praise, and in this hymn of praise, in this time where he offers up this worship to the Lord, he gives us some reasons to worship and praise God. And that's what I'm looking forward to today, is focusing on those wonderful reasons given to us in chapter 12 as to why we should praise and worship God. So let's look at this passage and see just why we should praise and worship the Lord. Look at verse 1. It says, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise You. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, my God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song." Sweetie, could you just adjust me? I'm still echoing back there, up here. Okay? Still ringing and echoing. Testing. Better. That's great. Okay, good. When we have VBS, the sound system gets all discombobulated, and so we have to do some adjustments. We'll do some more Wednesday. But that's very good right there. Can everybody hear me? Oh, good. All right. So we're getting there. I don't need the echo and ringing in my ears the whole sermon. I'll be so distracted. All right. Very good. So the first reason we should praise and worship God is the Lord is a restorer. We should praise and worship the Lord because He is a restorer. Now, what does that mean? A restorer is someone who takes something that is broken and dilapidated and he makes it like new. He makes it like new. There's a lot of cool shows that do that. I love those shows where they take old dilapidated cars and they put a lot of work into them and they restore them and they look brand new when they're done with them. They're beautiful. And it's really exciting to see how people can do that. Well, God is a restorer of us. He takes our broken, dilapidated lives full of sin, and He cleans us up. He takes away our sins, and He restores us. And not only does He restore us now, but He has a plan to restore us in the future. Not only us, but all of His creation, He is going to restore. Because of our sin, God was angry with us, we're told in verse 1. However, anger is an emotion that God not only resists, but God does whatever it takes to do away with that anger. He wants to do away with anger. When he gets angry, he immediately wants to do away with it. When he gets angry with us, he wants to immediately get away from that. He resists anger. He's slow to anger, we're told in the Bible. And so he resists getting angry with us when we do things that aren't right. But at some point when he does get angry, his next reaction is to do something to do away with that anger. Okay, now that's important, and let's remember that later on. That's a wonderful thing for us to remember in our lives. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that God isn't constantly angry at you. He's not constantly angry at you. As a matter of fact, he's constantly in love with you. He loves you. Like the kids learned this week, God always loves you. He always loves you. Now, there are times when we do something that may anger him, but he wants to do away with that as soon as possible. And that's why he sent his son Jesus Christ. You know, in our sin, before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were just in our sin. And when God saw us, all he saw was our sin. But he wanted to do something about that. That's not what he wanted to do, see. He didn't want to just see our sin. He wanted to do away with that sin so he could do away with the thing that made him angry at us. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to come to this earth, to live this sinless, perfect life, and sacrifice that life on the cross, and then rise again so that we could have this wonderful hope in his Son, Jesus Christ. Not only that, he wanted to make sure that he would never have to be angry with us again. He would never have to be angry with us again as far as our sin goes. So when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he covers us. He takes away our sins. And by taking away our sins, he takes away that reason that he was angry. And so sin is what makes God angry. He doesn't want that in our lives. And so he sent his son Jesus to make a way where that is not a problem anymore. And our relationship with Jesus and with God is now restored because of what Jesus Christ did for us. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he wipes away our sins and our relationship with him is restored. And so the Bible tells us that we are no longer under condemnation of God. We're no longer under his wrath and his anger. We are now under his mercy and grace. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is a restorer. He is a restorer. He doesn't want to stay angry. He doesn't want us to be under his condemnation. And so he's not only slow to anger, but he does what it takes to do away with anger in our relationship with him. It says in verse 2a, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." When we were afraid, he sent a restorer to us with comfort. You see, when we were afraid, he restored us with comfort. There is a lot in this world that can make you afraid. There's a lot about this life that can make you afraid. But you know what? He sent Jesus Christ to not only restore us, but then Jesus said he would send a comforter to comfort us so that we would not be afraid. God has restored us to the point where we no longer have to fear what's happening to us in this world. He restored us to the point where we don't have to fear, where we can be comforted. When we are afraid, we can be comforted by God. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to have comfort in our hearts because he has restored us to himself. And then when we were weak, he restored us with strength. He restores us with our strength. There have been many times when I have felt weak, when I have been weakened by the grind of life. How about you? Have you ever felt that way? Weakened by the grind of life. This praise of worship that Isaiah expresses here. I'm sure there were times in Isaiah's life, as close as he was to God, that he felt weakened by this life. That's why he says this. Notice where his strength comes from. It says, Yah the Lord, or Jehovah, is my strength. Our strength comes from God. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you can draw upon his strength, that's where true strength comes. That's where you can get strength from the Lord to carry on, to continue on in this life. Why? Because in him, you know someday you will be completely restored to what God intended for you to be. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus. We have someone that comforts us when we are afraid. We have someone that strengthens us when we are weak. Because he is a restorer. He is our strength. I love this the show This Old House, because they go into this old house that's weak and dilapidated and run down, and then they completely strip it down and they strengthen all the foundations if they need the foundation needs to be strengthened, and they make sure everything's just right from the foundation up. These guys do not miss a thing. And they make sure everything is quality and the workmanship is really good. And when they restore it, it looks beautiful and it's fully functional and it's a real nice house. And that's what God does with us. That's what you are in the process of. God is in the process of restoring you. Now, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, we talked about the fact that, you know, we're going to have rewards in heaven. And, you know, God has a plan for you that you be completely restored someday. And that you, and so this, you're in this process where God is trying to make you what he ultimately wants you to be. When we follow the Holy Spirit, when we go by what the Spirit of God is telling us to do, that restoration process goes much better. It goes much better. When we resist and we follow our flesh instead of the Spirit of God, well, that restoration process doesn't go as well. And we hinder what God is trying to ultimately do in our lives to make us this wonderful vessel that will praise him and worship him for all eternity. Let me explain something to you. When you praise and worship God here, you are preparing yourself for eternity. Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. Praise and worshiping the Lord for all eternity. So get used to it, okay? not that we should have to say get used to it, but that's definitely what we want to be doing, preparing. Preparing not only ourselves for praise and worship, but for service to the Lord. Guess what we're going to be doing for all eternity in heaven? You think we're going to just be sitting around and saying, hey, God, can I have a Sunday float today? Can you please get me a Sunday float? Yeah, and I want some chicken wings, too. Make them buffalo today. You think that's what it's going to be like? No. No. You know what we're going to do when we get up? Well, I don't know if we're going to sleep in heaven or not. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, Lord, what do you want us to do today for you? What do you want us to do? So think about that for a minute. How can I prepare for heaven? When I get up, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? That's how you prepare for heaven, because that's what you're going to be doing in heaven. Now, there'll be times, I'm sure, where we bask in the glory of the Lord. We will all the time. But I'm saying, you know, it's hard to talk about heaven in time space, because there is going to be no time in heaven. But just be thinking about preparing yourself, allowing God to restore you to what he has for you ultimately in heaven. And I think that will certainly help you in your life. Now, I think there is another application to this in this passage. It says, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. I think there's a way for us to deal with anger like the Lord deals with anger. I think we need to be slow to anger. I think we need to be resisting getting angry, okay? But when we do get angry, let's make sure we are angry and we do not sin, that we deal with our anger immediately and in a right way. You see, that's what God does. When he gets angry, he deals with it in the right way. And if we, when we get angry, we deal with it in the right way, we can be angry and sin not. Okay? So what do we want to do? Well, when we get angry, first thing we want to do is make sure that we restore any relationships that we may have damaged in our anger. Usually that means apologizing to someone. When I get angry at Christy, I am the one that is apologizing 100% of the time, because she probably didn't do anything for me to get angry at her for, and I end up, but 100% of the time, I apologize, because I want our relationship restored to what it's supposed to be, okay? So that's how you do that, okay? You try your best, just like God did with us. He tried to restore our relationship with him. We need to do the same. And so when you get angry about, maybe you get angry about something that's going on in the world, maybe some injustice that happens, deal with it in the right way. Let's deal with our anger in a right way, and that anger can actually motivate us to do what is right instead of what is wrong. And then, but when you do get angry, let's look for ways to get away from that anger. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we do away with anger in our lives. Maybe you're bitter towards someone. Bitterness always leads to sin. And you need to get that bitterness out of your lives. Anger will hinder our relationships with others. And so God wants us to do like he does. Get away from that anger. Do away with that anger. So our relationships can be what they ought to be. Now, look at verse 3. It says, therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, the next thing we should praise and worship the Lord over is God is the source of our joy. We should praise and worship the Lord because he is our source of joy. The wells of God's salvation will never dry up. That's what we're told. He is our joy. The image here is of one of a place where we can continually go with joy because of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that for a minute. We have this place where we can go to constantly draw from the wells of God and bring us joy. It should bring joy to our lives that we have this wonderful salvation that never goes away, that is never dried up. A widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to the cheerful outlook that he characterized his life. One day, while at work in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. His pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and called, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." "Yes, I was just thinking," said the old man. "Thinking about what?" questioned the pastor. "Oh, I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will the great loaf of glory be like? I tell you, sir, there will be enough for everyone and some to spare up there." And you see, that's our source of joy. The fact that we know our salvation is eternal. That we'll be able to keep going to the well of our salvation and it will never dry up. And therefore, we have this source of joy. We have this source of joy. Our salvation is our joy. When we are going through difficulties in our life, when the air conditioning breaks down at the house like mine did this week, when things aren't going the way you think they should, when the septic backs up at the church like happened this week, and you're trying to figure things out, you can still have joy. You can still have joy because you've got a well of salvation that you can draw from that will never dry up. Please keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that your God is restoring you and he has a final plan for you, a final plan of restoration, a plan that will never dry up. A plan that should give you constant joy. A place you can go. You know, this well, it's a place you can go. It's a place you can go in your mind and get some joy. And boy, do we need a place like that. Amen? Let's remember that. We have a great source of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the world rob you of your joy. So, with that said, let's go to verse 4. It says, "And in that day you will say, 'Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention of his name, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst.'" Finally, we should praise and worship the Lord because he is a doer. He is a doer. There are two types of people in this world: doers and donors. Doers and donors. Doers are people that see things that need to be done and they do something about it. Donors are people that see things that need to be done and don't do anything about it. A donor will come to me and say, "The windows need to be cleaned." A doer will come to me and say, "I cleaned the windows. I saw they needed to be cleaned." You see the difference there? But God is a doer. God is a doer. God did everything that needed to be done in order for you to be fully restored in your relationship with him and in order for you to have this marvelous eternal salvation. Everything was done by him. Everything. So he is a doer. He created this world. He created the heavens and the earth. He did a great job with it. It is amazing and meticulous and magnificent. We should never let anyone rob us of that glorious fact that God created this world. The Big Bang Theory and all these theories of evolution do not explain fully what we see before us. And because they can't. God is the creator of everything you see. He's the creator of all that you experience here in creation. So let's praise the Lord for what he's done. You know what? As magnificent as creation is, he did an even greater work in you. Think about what Jesus did in your life. When he changed you from someone that was just doing what he wanted to do, someone that was blind to the reality of spiritual things, and then he changed you, and he enlightened you. He showed you his son Jesus Christ. He showed you how he could help you live a better life, how he could give you awesome wisdom. And he gave you that wisdom because he is a doer in your life. He has done great things in your life. And then the greatest thing he ever did was he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. Let's not forget that ever. Let's not forget what he's done. Jesus Christ, what a magnificent person.